We have been journeying through the book of Acts now for many, many weeks, and we come now to finish chapter number 5 this morning, seeking the Lord's help in all of this, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the special song that we just heard, and Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice or online that doesn't know what you've done for them, they've never accepted the gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus, that even today would be the day of their salvation. Father, that you would encourage us that know you to continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Lord, do a mighty work now. Empty me of self and fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This morning I'd like to speak to you on this theme, persecuted but still preaching. Persecuted but still preaching. We find the end of verse 33, the Spirit of the Sanhedrin. Look, if you will, at the end of verse 33. The end of verse 33, the Bible says they took counsel to what? Slay them. Now, the louder you respond, the quicker I preach. They took counsel to... Wow, some people want to go home. There we go. All right, good. They took counsel to slay them. That's the spirit of the Sanhedrin. These are the religious people of the day. Can you believe that? The religious people wanted to kill those that represented Jesus Christ. What an amazing truth. By the way, just because something is religious doesn't mean it's right. We don't want to necessarily be religious. We want to be people that find what it says in the Bible and base our belief system not on a denomination like Baptist or Presbyterian or Catholic or any other group for that matter, but we want to base our belief on the Bible, the Word of God. Well, the Sanhedrin's spirit was definitely one of anger and jealousy. Now, the apostles now are beginning to enter a stage where they are going to find adversity around every corner. It's not going to be long, and things are going to even get stronger and stronger in this area of persecution. Their lives are being threatened, not just for a little stay in a prison overnight, but now their lives are being threatened. There is physical harm that is coming their way. And eventually, many of them will pay the ultimate price. What is the ultimate price? They will be martyred. They'll be killed, think of this, simply because they identified with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would be killed because they were followers of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that has not stopped even to 2020. We are in a place of great freedom. We are in a place of, I would say this, it's very comfortable here in Canada to be a Christian. There are many places in the world you could go today, and if you would identify yourself as being a Christian, if you would identify that you have a Bible with you, immediately there would be persecution coming your way. Immediately, in many places, there would at least be prison. And immediately, in some places, you would give your life simply because you would be identifying with a name. Isn't that amazing? A name, Jesus Christ. There's no name, by the way, around the world, except for, and I can think of maybe one other place, possibly, where you could identify with another religious figure and you might find some persecution. But that's very, very small. But as soon as you identify with Jesus Christ, this is where we believe it began, of course, right here in the New Testament. Now, we read in verse 34 that Gamaliel stands up and he says something to these angry, jealous religious leaders. Now, he was not a follower of Jesus Christ, by the way. We believe this is the same individual that would train Paul. Now, Paul hasn't come on the scene yet. We're going to learn about Paul a little bit later in the book of Acts. But this is the same man who Paul would sit under, and he would learn about Jewish things and customs and so forth. And then eventually Paul would get saved and he would write for us 2/3 of the New Testament that you hold in your hand, of the Bible that you hold in your hand right now. Again, he was not a follower of Jesus Christ, but it's amazing to me that God uses this man for his good and for God's glory. Notice what this man does. He stands up in verse 34, right in the middle of this group that wants to kill him, and he has the boldness and he has the the strength to be able to stand up. And he gives a couple of examples there. And he talks about, oh, there was this guy named Thutis and there was this guy named Judas. And they weren't brothers, I don't think, even though their names maybe rhymed a little bit. But they kind of had this following, and then they were killed, or they went off the scene. And, you know, they kind of came up like a firecracker, if you will. They just came up, and then they had this big, huge following, and then they all got dispersed. And basically he's saying that, you know what, let's just give it some time. Notice what he says there in verse number 38. He says, "For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught." What does that mean? It means it will stop. It will cease if it be of men. But then he gives this amazing statement. "But if it be of God," if it be of God. And by the way, I'll give you the answer. It was of God. It's been of God ever since this point and all the way until today, October 11th, 2020, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the gospel, as we heard about a moment ago, lo, in the grave he lay, up from the grave he arose. It is of God. It is of the Creator God. It is of God Almighty. And just as this unbelieving theologian, if you will, said, if it's of God, notice, he said, you cannot stop it. You cannot overthrow it. I submit to you today that you can stop me for sure. You can stop greater men than me, and there's all kinds of them, but you cannot stop the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I cannot stop even if I wanted to, and I don't want to. We cannot stop the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, you cannot stop even the local church, as the Bible says. Jesus said the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I'm thankful today that we don't serve a dead God. We serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is alive. I'm thankful for that. Here we see that God uses this unbeliever to stand up and give some truth. If it's of God, you cannot overthrow it. You cannot stop it. Verse number 39, lest ye fight against God. Wow. So, let's give an outline here from this point on. Most of our preaching is in these last three verses of our text. Verse number one, we see, number one, their preaching is strong. Their preaching is strong. Our theme is persecuted, but still preaching. How do we know that their preaching is strong? I'd like to bring it down to this particular word. The Bible says in verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council. I'd like you to underline that next word or circle that next word, rejoicing. Rejoicing. The strength of their preaching is seen in the response to the persecution. How do we know that their preaching is strong? I believe we see it in response to the persecution. What is their response to the persecution? They are not sad. They are not defeated. They are not discouraged. They are not downtrodden. They are not gloomy. No, the Bible uses a word, rejoicing. They're going on their way rejoicing. What are they? They're thankful. They're thankful. That's part of rejoicing, is it not? Being thankful. How many of us today have many, many things in our life that we could look at and be thankful for? Aren't you thankful today that you have a Bible in your hands? And maybe you're new to the church or new to even coming to church. You may have never even been to church, but you're here today. I'm glad you're here. I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ loves everyone here today and loves everyone who's online today. No, these men were powerful preachers, and it's proven that they were thankful and rejoicing persecution. How difficult must that have been? How difficult must that have been to have had the right attitude and the right spirit even when this persecution comes? Turn over to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. James 1 verse 22, the Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Divers means various kinds of difficulty, various kinds of trials. And the Bible says there, count it joy There's great joy and there's great strength in our faith as when difficulties come our way that we can still have this fruit of the Spirit. By the way, that's the only way we can have true rejoicing. It's not through me. You can try to work up joy all you want, but you can't. It's impossible. You can be happy, but you can't be joyful. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So true joy only comes through the Holy Spirit of God. This is how these men could have their power in preaching, is because they were thankful. They were rejoicing. Not only that, but look, let's go back to Acts chapter 4. Back to our text that we've already read, but let's look at something else about these men. So their preaching is strong. They were rejoicing. They had a good spirit, a good attitude. Even when it was difficult, they went away rejoicing. But notice another thing about their preaching and why it was strong. Look at Acts chapter 4, please, and verse number 8. Then Peter, are you there? Then Peter, filled with the who? Holy Ghost. By the way, the Holy Ghost is not a force or just a power. The Holy Spirit is a who. This is the third part of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three in one make up the Trinity. We are created in the image of God. We have a body, soul, and spirit. Just like there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But we see here the Bible says that Peter opened his mouth and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Why was their preaching powerful? Why was it strong? They had the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. There is power that comes in the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how many of us today have on our calendar this week a preaching spot? We're gonna preach right here. Very few of us would have that. But do you know what we have? We have daily life that we need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Temptation is coming your way this week. I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. Temptation is coming my way this week. I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. Challenges are going to come to you. They're going to come to me. We have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of God as Christians so that our life can be strong in Christ. Folks, our strength is not in us. Our strength is in the Lord. Our help cometh from the Lord, the Bible says. What did the Lord do? Well, He only made heaven and earth. The same God that said, that spoke the world into existence, wants to empower you and empower me to have a spirit of joy even in difficult times. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're talking about their preaching being strong. Hebrews chapter number 4. Their preaching was strong, and we see that in the fact that they went on their way rejoicing. We see that their preaching was strong because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Notice the benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Notice Hebrews chapter number 4, toward the end of your Bible, toward the back of the Bible, verse number 15. The Bible says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find" what? Grace. To help in time of what? Need. As God's children, the Holy Spirit promises us, God's Word promises you, God's Word promises me, that when we have a need, grace is available. Now, the greatest need that mankind has is salvation. Salvation. Why does mankind need to be saved? Why does mankind need to be forgiven? It's because mankind is a sinner. That's me. I'm a sinner. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It doesn't matter if you're not even a year old. Opal back there, Opal's a sinner. You say, how could you say that about a precious little baby? Oh, I'm sure if you ask the Sutphins, you would know that she's not always a precious little baby, okay? And all of us were like that at one point. We're sinners. We need a Savior. Now, she doesn't understand that yet. There will come a day in her life where she will understand that. That is their prayer, I'm sure, for her, that someday she will understand what sin is, who Christ is, and that she will come to the Lord and be saved. Folks, the greatest need that you and I have is only available by grace. I don't deserve to be forgiven. You don't deserve to be forgiven. But Hebrews tells us here that we can come as a believer after we've been saved. We still have needs. We still need the Lord. Folks, I can't live a day without God's help. I can't live a day without God's direction. I can't live a day without God's comfort. I'm glad every morning I can get up and open this book right here, and I can read something from this book, and it's new, and it's helpful, and it's filling to the soul, so that when we go out into this world, we too can be rejoicing believers. They had powerful preaching because they were rejoicing in a difficult time. They were powerful preachers in that they had the Spirit of God. But I'm not lifting these men up. I'm saying this same Holy Spirit, this same comforter, this same supplier of grace in time of need is available for us. It's available for you. As a Christian, God doesn't just immediately take us to heaven. We have a life to live. And you know what? We need God's grace. And that's where we find it. Polycarp, A.D. 70 to 155. That was a long time ago. Polycarp was bishop of Smyrna and a godly man. Bishop is another word for pastor. He had known the Apostle John personally. When he was urged by the Roman proconsul to renounce Christ, Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and Savior? I have respect for your age, said the official. Simply say, away with the atheist, and be set free. The aged Polycarp pointed to the pagan crowd and said, away with the atheist. Polycarp was burned at the stake and gave joyful testimony of his faith in Jesus Christ. He was burned at the stake simply because he would not renounce his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their preaching was strong. Number two, their preaching was steadfast. Steadfast. Look at verse 42. You go back to Acts 5, please. Acts 5. It was steadfast. The Bible says, and daily. Daily. Isn't that interesting? In the temple. And in every house. Daily. That's a word you ought to circle or underline. Steadfast. It wasn't just on the Lord's day. It was every day. So we see three things about this verse. It was daily, it was public, and it was private. Daily, public, and private. It was steadfast. Notice daily. The Christian life is just that. It's a life. Every day you do lots of things, don't we? Every day. You don't, unless you're sick, you don't stay in bed all day. There's no day you stay in bed. Now, your body would love to do that maybe from time to time, but unless you're sick or unless you're physically unable, you don't lay in bed all day. Nobody does that. There's things that we do every day. So daily, every day. Look, we're Christians. We should be living for Christ every day. Well, it's Sunday. I've got to put on my Sunday best. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Yes, there's some honor. We talked about that last week. And I hope you listened. If you were not here, I hope you were able to listen to that lesson. Yes, there is something about that. But we don't just grab our Bible on Sunday and live like a Christian on Sunday. And then the other 6 days of the week, we live however we want. No, we should be living for God every day. And by the way, it's not a chore to live for God. Do you realize that it's a chore to live for Satan? It's a chore to live for self? That's bondage. The enemy is bondage. Satan always equals bondage. Living for God, you know what it equals? Freedom. There's great freedom that comes in living for the Lord. There's great freedom that comes in the Scriptures. So it was daily. We have opportunities to live for God every day. Notice it was public. It was public. See what it says there? The Bible says there that it was daily. It was in the temple. We are the church. Today, we are the church, all right? Think about that. Church is not this ballroom. The church is not up on Armstrong Avenue, our other location. The church is not the rec center in Cameron Rec Center, where we met for 15 and a half years. The church is not a building with a steeple on top. No, church equals people. The people are the church. Born again, baptized believers, we are the church. The church should be inviting others. The church should be inviting others. It's public. You say, well, it's difficult in these days. All right. You know what? That's why we've got this live stream. Sometimes it works really good. Sometimes it has glitches. That's okay. We have this live stream. Why? Because we want more people to be able to be a part. We can't invite everybody to church. We can only have a limited number of people in this meeting. But you know what we can do? We can continue to invite people to go online. You would not believe how many people, just in recent days, I've been getting messages regularly from people that are watching online. Somebody pointed them to the website. Somebody pointed them to the way. Somebody invited you to come today. We're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. The point is, it was steadfast. It was public. It was every day. It wasn't just on Sunday. But then also notice it was private. They not only met in the temple, but notice this. The Bible says, in every house. In every house. They didn't have church buildings like we have today. Like many people do, I guess. We had the one there on Armstrong Avenue, but every house. I could liken this to a couple different things. I liken this to having a church meeting in the house, yes. But also, I think it could also be, secondly, applied to our own walk with the Lord. Do we open our Bible up in our house, in our private house, reading the Word of God, studying the Bible, seeking the Lord? Their preaching was steadfast. Here's something to think about. To be steadfast means to be determined. These apostles refused to stop. I have a question for you. What would stop you from proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ? What would stop you? Would fear stop you? Can I say that even in Canada, even in Vancouver, even in Burnaby, even in Coquitlam, even in wherever you're from, that many times the enemy uses fear to keep us from talking about Jesus Christ? The Bible says it this way, the fear of man bringeth a what? Snare. It brings a snare. What is a snare? It's a trap. There isn't anyone we should fear except our God. And it's not that I'm scared of God. It's that I'm in awe of God in the fact that He loves a sinner like me, like I talked about earlier. I'm in awe that God would provide Jesus to be a lamb, to die, to give His life so that I could be saved. Make it personal. Your salvation isn't a corporate thing. Your salvation is a personal decision between you and God. And what amazing thing it is to know that our sins are forgiven and we're on our way to heaven. What can we not do but tell others about that good news? Their ministry was steadfast. It was public. It was private. It was daily. What would stop you from assembling with believers? These men refused to stop. It was steadfast. But then, lastly, I believe possibly one of the most important verses in the entire Bible. Number three, their preaching is specific. It's specific. Look at verse 42. And daily, it was strong. It was strong. Remember? They were rejoicing. It was strong. Why? Because they had a beautiful attitude. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It was steadfast. Nothing stopped them. They kept at it. They were warned, don't do this anymore. It didn't stop them. You see, they had a higher authority than the Sanhedrin. Folks, our highest authority is our God. Everyone else is underneath our highest authority. And our God has told us over and over to proclaim His message to everyone. But notice, lastly, their preaching is specific. They ceased not to teach and preach who? Jesus Christ. Specific. It brings it down to one man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Over the door of a church in Scotland are carved the three words translated in our Bible. They're three words, but they're translated in our Bible, several words. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. They were put there as an indication of the object of the church's existence, and also in the hope that some Jews passing by might see them and come in to worship the God of Abraham. Dr. Bonar preached these words on the day in which the church was opened, explaining that winning was the word used to describe a hunter stalking game, and reminding soul winners that their work must be done in a wise way. He that winneth souls. Folks, do you ever think about people that we come into contact with? Family for sure. Do you ever think, I wonder if they're saved? Maybe you know they're not saved. They're not on their way to heaven. Maybe you come into contact with strangers from time to time at the store or whatever. Maybe less in these days. But think about all the people that we pass by. You ever think, I wonder if that person is saved? I wonder if this person that I paid at the till at the Dollarama yesterday, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if this person over here at Walmart that bagged up my groceries or that took my money or I processed my credit card, I wonder if they're saved. And all these people that we come into contact with, they're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. By the way, you're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. It doesn't matter what you think or I think. It matters what God's Word says. And God's Word clearly talks about heaven, which I hope you're headed there with me, but it also clearly talks about hell. The Bible says the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, as symbolizing as if hell is beneath. I'm not really sure exactly, but I believe it is. But as if he's looking up from hell and he sees Abraham, and he sees he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, a picture of heaven. He looks up from the torments of hell. He sees that Lazarus is in a place of peace, in a place of comfort. So we have heaven and hell. The Bible's very clear. I'm going to one of them. I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to heaven. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And I have accepted Him by faith. Have you ever done that? Have you ever accepted the gift of salvation? Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. Oh, I tell you, I think about that often. I think about our missionaries that we so emphatically support, and I'm honored that we do, and we give finances to them, and we pray for them. More important than the finances is the prayers. They're standing up in front of people. They're in villages. They're in big cities. They're in small towns preaching the Word of God in Canada and around the world. They're meeting people all the time, and I wonder, as we're praying for them, and they're taking this message just like the apostles were, and they're preaching and they're teaching, I wonder how many people they're coming into contact with hearing the gospel. I wonder today you're hearing the gospel. You've heard it five times. This is the sixth time. I wonder if today you're going to receive it. I'm speaking to you here. I'm speaking to you online. He that winneth souls is wise. Their preaching is specific. Their preaching. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. It's only a few pages over. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Their preaching was specific. Their preaching exalted Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ. There it is. It continued on in Corinth, the Apostle Paul, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. You're either a Jew or a Gentile today. You're one or the other. The Bible says here that it messed up both of them. It confused both of them, if you will. Verse 24, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks. Hey, that's good news. Good news. What does it mean? It means salvation is for everyone. Everyone. Both Jews and Greeks. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, notice, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I mean, God is not foolish, but he's comparing that. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We preach Christ. It is my prayer, as God gives me breath, it is my prayer that it would be said of me, he ceased not. What about you? What would it take to stop you? What would it take to stop me? What a verse. They ceased not. Think about it. They ceased not. What did they cease not? To tell people about Jesus. Think about it. They had no live stream. They had no organ, piano. They had no microphone. They had no church building. They had no printed Bible. Think of this. They had no printed Bible like me. And yet they ceased not. They had no hymn book like we have. We have so many blessings. This isn't a thing to say we shouldn't have them. I'm saying they ceased not. They would meet in homes, vacant lots. They would meet at the seaside. They would meet on the temple porch. They would meet in a public plaza. They ceased not. I'm thankful today that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ continues to be central in the Anchor Baptist Church. I'm thankful today that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned at each and every time that we gather. Why? Because it is only through Jesus Christ that you and I can have life eternal. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you know him today? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? You see, these men were persecuted. Why? Because of a name. It wasn't because of their name. They were persecuted because of a name. Jesus Christ. But they ceased not. I want to challenge you today, if you're a Christian, keep telling people about Jesus. Keep praying. I want to challenge you today, if you're not a Christian, Jesus Christ wants to save you today. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till next month. Don't say, I don't want to think about it longer. If God is speaking to you right now and challenging you right now, turn to Christ today. Persecuted, but they kept going. They ceased. You're a Christian? Don't stop reading this book. Don't stop praying. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop giving of your tithes and offerings. Don't stop forgiving people. Don't stop. They ceased.